Welcome to Advisor Go Radio. I'm Stephanie Sammons.
And I'm Zach Miller. And welcome to another episode of Advisor Go Radio. And this episode is sponsored by Arcovi Social Media Archiving. Arcovi helps financial professionals and firms leverage the power of social media. You can learn more at arcovi.com. That's ARKOVI.com. Also, they were kind enough to give us a code so that you can get a nice discount on their services. You're going to want to type in ADVGO11. That's ADVGO11.
Well, hello, Zach. How are you?
Doing great, Steph. How are you?
I am doing great as well. So what is going on this week? What's happened lately?
A lot of social media has been the news a lot, and I guess that's apropos to what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, definitely. And you sent me an interesting, I guess it was a webinar that HubSpot did. Dan Zarella, is that his name?
Yeah, he's like the chief scientist over there. The funny thing was it was billed. They did great marketing of this, by the way. We could do a whole study on this, but they basically said that they were going to go for the world, the Guinness Book of World Records for the most number of people on a webinar. And I think they got 30,000 people to sign up for the webinar.
Was that the Salesforce webinar, or was that the Science of Social Media Marketing webinar you're talking about?
Science of Social Media.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't think they had 30,000 people attend, but they had thousands attend, and it was about an hour-long event, and it launched. It coincided with a I'm sure his name will come up again, but Seth Godin, who's sort of a media maven, has something called the Domino Project, where he's partnering with really smart, intelligent people who have messages that change. I guess that aim to change society, change the way we think about things. So Dan Zarella had also launched a book yesterday as well. So the webinar was was a companion to that book.
I see. Well, I've seen Dan speak a couple of times at some different conferences I've been to, and he is just he really is a scientist. I mean, he is so analytical and really into studying these things that you know, I don't know that many people get that granular with these details, but it's pretty fascinating what he's uncovered.
He also does it with his. He's very kind of sparkly, and he's funny. So he was very engaging as a scientist. So I mean, do you want to talk about some of the takeaways I had from the from attending that webinar?
I'd love to hear it, and I'll just say that you know HubSpot not only is HubSpot their marketing blog a great resource for keeping up with. What's going on in the world of social media and lots of how-tos and guides and things that are free, but they're a marketing machine, and they're a great example of building a business through educational marketing. Their blog is just a terrific resource in this space, don't you think?
All kinds of downloadable content and white papers, ebooks, they give a ton away. And then they try to monetize that through some of these programs that they have, right?
Yeah, their software, and it's pretty neat, actually. I think it's a little expensive for, you know, probably the average financial professional. And it's also, it works really well if you've got, you know, a decent amount of traffic. So I think you've got to get traction a little bit before you can really take advantage of a lot of their tools. But they're just a great example of how to do it, how to do educational marketing. I aspire to be like HubSpot with my company, I can tell you that.
We're going to hold your feet to the fire on that one. So the webinar focused on certain myths that people had with social media. And I think this is, you know, this is a good segue into what we're talking about here for advisors. But I'll just put out one or two that I thought were interesting. One was a myth that quote unquote, engaging in the conversation is the most important thing on social media. We always talk about, and Seth and Steph, you and I also talk about, you know, the idea of not only being on social media, but actually, you know, leading the conversation, engaging with people.
Right.
Dan Zarella did an interesting study where he looked at people with over 1,000 followers on Twitter versus people with under.
Okay.
And assuming the assumption was that people with more followers would be more engaged, meaning they would use more original content on Twitter. It turns out the opposite was true. It turns out that many of the people with larger audiences were either retweeting or sending links to other places. So they were acting more as basically as an information source. Instead of actually pushing out their own information, they were pointing people to other valuable information. And that's important, I think, for advisors. You don't actually have to be the source of all the investment advice online. You can, by pointing people to other places and curating those sources, you're providing a value. And it seems that there is some type of correlation with that in building a larger audience.
Well, that I think that's great to have the data that backs that up. So essentially, if you're acting as a resource for your followers or your clients or your prospects, then that's very valuable. And I agree with that. I think to create content is important, but also to find the good stuff and be a filter. There's so much information out there. My gosh, it's just overload. So that's great, I think, to have some science behind it, actually.
It's great news, meaning obviously engaging in conversation is a good thing. I wouldn't say don't do that, but the main key there is just publish interesting stuff, and that'll help build your audience, your following.
Right.
He looked at a couple other like nuances, like the effect of having a profile picture on your website.
Okay. On your website or on a social media profile or both?
Website, blog. It wasn't specific where it was. I think he meant on your blog. And it turns out the people with pictures had an average number of followers about almost 300 followers, and people with no picture had maybe 30. So
that doesn't surprise me.
There was a correlation between having a picture. It shows that you're committed, and that, you know, not only that you're committed to building your audience, but also that, you know, people can relate to you. They can see you.
You know, yeah, it's a huge trust builder. I can tell you, I've seen this going around. Somebody has developed an ebook, and they're selling it, and it's targeting the financial community on the subject of social media.
Oh, and you and I talked about that. Yeah.
Okay. Have we talked about it on the show?
Not on the show. We had emailed each other. We had both had seen it. We had both been spammed, I guess.
Exactly. It was quite spammy. They were doing all the traditional spamming techniques, and you could not find who was behind it. You know, you couldn't find a picture. You couldn't find a name.
No name.
Right. So, you know, that stuff dies quick. There's just no credibility. But that's kind of off the subject, but I think a picture is just hugely important.
And then one of the other things, another myth that he exploded was don't call yourself a guru. He looked at sort of the well-trafficked websites and, you know, looked at in the bio and what type of words they use there. And he found, like, you know, people who had a lot of followers typically used words like official, founder, speaker, expert, guru, and author. Mm-hmm. And those people all had above average followings. Now, again, they could be in the business of building their social media presence. So maybe, you know, correlation is not causation per se, but, you know, it's okay to call yourself an expert on something. People are looking for expert advice. So identify yourself as such. I think that's a really important piece.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Within the interactive marketing community, a lot of those guys really gripe about that. You know, how many social media experts have come out of the woodwork? And, you know, I just don't think there's any such thing. It's how intelligent are you about people and psychology and marketing and positioning and all of those things. It is important to establish yourself as an authority. You know,
I think so. And don't leave it up to your reader's imagination. Define exactly who you want to be for that person, and things will fall into line afterwards.
Right. I mean, if you believe it, everybody else can believe it as well. And you've just got to be able to back it up. Right.
Exactly. You found some interesting information or news over the weekend.
Well, there are a couple of things that I think are probably a good idea to point out to our listeners. So the first thing is LinkedIn has released a new mobile app. Now, I have an iPhone, so I haven't tested it on any other mobile device. But I can tell you, one of my biggest beefs with LinkedIn is that it's real difficult to engage in the group discussions on the go. You know, you've always had to go back into LinkedIn and dive in there and find the group and answer the comment or question. Or you could click through, you know, directly from your email if you receive the group discussion email digest. So one of the one of my favorite features of this new iPhone app for LinkedIn is participation in group discussions is simple. You can jump right in on the go. And I love that because before I was trying to, you know, peck it out on the iPhone. If I wanted to respond to a comment on an existing discussion, and I there was just no way to do it. It was very cumbersome.
I think there's so much value in some of those group conversations on LinkedIn, and it's been a kind of a clunky interface, you know, since they've developed it. It's getting better for sure. But particularly, that hurdle on the mobile was really nuts. I mean, it made it unusable.
Right.
That's great that they're addressing that. And that's a great way that advisors can join in all kinds of conversations about the industry.
Totally. And the interface is much more user-friendly. It's fast. It's really, really cool. And then the other thing I like about it that wasn't there before is, and we can talk about this, you know, in more detail on another call, but LinkedIn Today is under your news tab on LinkedIn. It's called LinkedIn Today, and it's trending topics that are surfaced by the 100 million plus members of LinkedIn from very reputable news sources or blogs. And then those topics are organized by industry. So literally, that's the first place I go every morning to check out what's going on in the world now. It's really become a valuable resource, and that has been integrated into the mobile app. So what's neat about that is, again, you can share with your connections two or three relevant topics or stories or news items that might be interesting for them. And the whole idea here is if the more you can be visible consistently on these social networks, combining that with what you were talking about earlier with the HubSpot findings, sharing interesting content along the way. So being visible and valuable, I think that's really one of the big secrets to being successful with all this social media stuff. So this app allows you to do it more easily and frequently.
That's great. That's great. And I definitely with the LinkedIn creating sort of their tools to sort of infiltrate the rest of the social web, it's becoming a more and more important source, not just for networking, but even just for the, as you're talking about, the transmission of conversations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn is probably the most important network right now for financial advisors to understand. And there are a lot of moving parts. I mean, you really need to dig in and spend some time there to understand all the functionality and all of the things that you really can do to build new relationships and establish yourself as an authority. It's an incredible opportunity, I think.
Great. And there was also FINRA, I guess, had some news in social media this week.
Yeah, FINRA has, they've updated their guidelines.
Could you make sense of it?
You know, I got a few things out of it. I've read a lot of the blog posts around the web. The last time they released, the first time they released any guidance as it pertains to social media was, I think it was March of 2010.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was form, or it was 1006 was the name of it, the number. Mm-hmm. And this is 1139. So this is release number 1139. And here are the few things that I'll highlight. It looks to me that a best practice is to continue for, if you're FINRA regulated, okay, to have your social media profiles pre-approved, that those are considered to be, you know, static
advertisements.
Yes, static content. Now, what they did in this guidance was they mentioned that many firms are pre-approving those, but they didn't say you must pre-approve them. So I would take that to mean, my interpretation would be it's a best practice. You need to pre-approve those profiles. It's not hard to do, you know. it's a one-time deal, unless they don't change that often, right? Unless LinkedIn comes out or any of the social networks come out with something new, which that does happen frequently, I guess. So the other big thing in there, so static posting, which would be like a blog post, is an advertisement, which is what we already knew. That's not any different, and it requires pre-approval. But they did say that if you take, you know, unscripted participation in interactive forums, so interactive communication, which I would consider conversational dialogue going on within the social networks, those are considered to be a public appearance and do not require pre-approval.
So, like if you were on a radio show or TV.
Yeah, or if you're, posting a comment or sharing something on Facebook or posting a status update on LinkedIn or group conversation, participating in a group discussion, all that's interactive. And it just has to be archived and monitored by firms. But one thing that they did say was if you take a piece of interactive content and you put it in a static place, then that perhaps needs to be pre-approved. Then it becomes static content. So,
meaning what? If you took like a tweet out and somehow took an image of it and embedded it on a website or something like that.
If you're embedding tweets, if you're embedding those conversations, that's all I could think of. It doesn't provide any further clarification on that. The other thing they don't talk about is blog comments. You know, I consider blog comments to be interactive. And of course, the advisor or anyone can pre-approve any comment before they allow it to be published. But there's no way to capture those comments unless you grab an RSS feed, you know, of the comment stream. So I have no idea how they're viewing that. And then, let's see. Oh, the other big thing was the device is irrelevant. Whether you're participating on a mobile device, a laptop, at work, at home, whether it's firm-owned or it's personally owned, it's all about the nature of the content. And they do make a distinction between personal and business content. And really that firms must supervise business-related content, but they have a choice as to whether or not they want to supervise personal content on these sites. So that's tough because, as you know, it's getting tougher and tougher to separate personal from business. I mean, your personality and your personal hobbies and interests and all these things that make you who you are, I believe, big differentiators.
Sure. That delineation between public and private face is definitely much blurrier now, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's so hard to differentiate. I mean, I would argue you can't differentiate based on price, product, and performance anymore in this industry. There are a lot of great advisors that have awesome credentials and many years of experience and consistent above average performance and fair pricing. It's what else is there? You know, you've got to have something that makes you stand out. So if it were me, if my firm was being regulated by FINRA, I'd want to supervise everything probably. I'd want to capture personal and professional participation. It's too hard to separate.
I see. What FINRA is doing is giving enough guidance to that no one really can take a side. I mean, it's
right.
It seems that there's enough there that you could read things in different ways.
Sure.
And so I know that that's causing some concern amongst, compliance people because it depends how FINRA is going to regulate this type of stuff or enforce this type of stuff.
Yeah, it's always been this kind of, subject to interpretation. And some firms are going to interpret it more conservatively than others. So you've really got to rely on your firm policy and what they put together And then FINRA also reiterated again how important training and education is, and I couldn't agree more with that. There's a lot to learn about every action that you take has visibility on these networks, and so you've got to make sure you know who's seeing it. And there are lots of buttons. It's like getting into the cockpit of an airplane with all the dials and the buttons and everything, and you've got to know what you're doing to be able to fly the plane.
Be interesting how Google Plus plays into all this, because there you really can define who sees your stuff, you know. If you're talking about a public appearance or a public message,
right?
You can define it much more finely in Google Plus. It'll be interesting. Maybe that's a route that some firms will take.
Yeah, we definitely need to do a session on Google Plus soon. And that's a nice segue into Facebook. They've announced lots of new tools for managing your privacy. And some of the things that they are rolling out are very similar to Google Plus. Probably not surprising.
Right.
You know, they're competitors, really. I think there's room for both of them. But anyway, one of the things with Facebook privacy, first of all, you know, you used to have to go to a page to manage all your privacy settings. Now they're going to be attached to different pieces of the homepage, you know, when you log into Facebook, so that you have more control at a more detailed level, if that makes sense. And the other thing is you can choose who you share with, and that's straight out of the Google Plus playbook.
Right. I think, to be fair, Facebook had that for a while and then took it offline and seems to have reemerged.
Yeah, it was kind of cumbersome from what I remember. It wasn't
lists or something?
Yeah. Yeah. So they're coming back out with that. And then the main thing is that you can adjust your settings, or this may happen by default, I'm not sure, to pre-approve when someone tags you in a photo or in a post, so that, you know, if you've gone crazy and lost your mind at a party one night and somebody snapped your photo and tagged you on Facebook, that's not going to happen anymore. You're going to have to pre-approve.
Also, it bears mentioning, never tweet drunk.
Oh, yeah. I always say don't tweet and drink.
Yeah.
Just like don't drink and drive, don't drink and tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd
and
be
also
great, showing up the next morning at on your supervisor's desk, an errant tweet, you know, that was totally inappropriate. Wouldn't look good.
Yeah, I know some people who've gotten in trouble with that. And, they're great people and they just made a mistake because they had too much and out and about at a conference and, you know, the tweet's public. So that's a good point. And also, you know, when your emotions are high, if you're angry or upset, your intelligence is low. So
yeah,
we always tell people, you know, don't go off on a tangent about, you know, I see a lot of people doing it with politics. People are passionate about their political beliefs.
They go off on a rant.
Yeah. And you just can't be too
it's not
sure.
Professional.
Right. Yeah. You can offend clients and have no idea. You know, don't assume that all your clients believe in the way you do is all I can say.
Right. And that's pretty divisive when you talk about politics or religion or anything.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah. Better keep that quiet.
I stay away from that. I just don't think it's a good idea. So, all right. Well, anything else this week that you can think of?
I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, I think this is good timing, and we haven't kept everybody going on too long. So that will conclude this episode of Advisor Go Radio, and Zach, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us, Steph.
All right, see ya.